been doing a sermon series called One Verse Wonders is kind of what we're calling it, all right? We have done Do Justly, Love Mercy, Walk Humbly with Our God. This is what's required. We have done What Makes Your Religion Have Worth, the widows and the orphans. Take care of them and keep yourself clean of the world, all right? Today, we move Old Testament. We're going to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to be here. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. And as a child, as a middle-aged person, even up to the last maybe couple of years, I had the very quick, very pass it off, very encouraging interpretation. If you'll just hold tight for a second, God's going to do something awesome in you. He's going to come and He's going to build you up and you'll be more than you are. You will soar. And that all sounds good and that is all biblical, but that's not what's here. And I'm just going to go ahead and say, I had a good interpretation. I had an incorrect interpretation. Because the interpretation implies that if there is a period of time in between what is happening now and when God comes to renew whatever it is He's going to do, that He's going to come to the gas pump of your spiritual car, fill it up, and you're going to rev and run wild. Nothing to do with this. In fact, it doesn't say that the Lord's going to renew their strength, does it? Look at it. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew. Now the question then becomes, is it self-renewal? Or is it renewal by obedience? By our choosing to do that which is required of us, there will be a response to that obedience. Think about it like that. The image here is, and this is wrong and right, I got to get you somewhere, so hear me out. The eagle image here is more aligned with what we think of in the story of the phoenix. There is a tearing down, a burning, a returning to the ashes, and then a restoration. When the Old Testament writers were writing this and they used the word renew strength, mount up with wings, there is a restoration in the wings. It's speaking of the molting process as an eagle goes through the middle adulthood, midlife crisis, all right? The adult eagle has midlife crisis and its wings are shed and flight is more difficult. All of us would say, as we get into the time of our life where we don't have college and buffets and cafeterias to go to, where we have mortgage to pay and rent to pay, and a child comes in and they get to school, and then another child comes in and they get to school, and then you're me and they get ready to graduate, and another child comes. And you have people who want of you, children who want of you, mortgage companies who want of you, all right? And you're in the time where it seems like your feathers are shedding and flying is difficult. He is reminding them that as the eagle sheds its wings, there is a restoration and a regrowing of a new set of feathers that will cause even greater flight, even easier flight in the knowledge of what they know as a young person and now what they have as an older person. That is the analogy here. There is a restoration coming if you understand what you are obeying. And you have to obey this. This is where the sermon stops being any fun. You have to obey the wait. We are horrible at waiting. Drive-throughs, microwaves, online ordering, Amazon. We are getting worse and worse and worse at waiting. We are getting more and more and more impatient as a culture. We are sending impatience into our children. I'm going to say this out loud. I love her. She is not, where's Ty? Tyler, you are not in any trouble, but I'm going to use a story from this morning because you are representative of almost this whole section, all right? She is not in trouble. I have no problem with what happened this morning. In fact, I think it's funny. She does not, all right? Tyler dropped her phone in the place where we drop, in the toilet, all right, today. Pulled it out. It's working, right? But on her face is the look like she'd lost a parent. Sorry, Mom, I just spit all over you. Was a look like she had lost something horrific. I'm like, and for me, I know why she feels that way, but I'm an adult. It's a phone. Part of me is going, good. 2 hours, she won't be on it. You know what I'm saying? Every teen parent is like that. Whether it's a Nintendo DS, whether it's a phone, whether it's an iPad, it's gonna be okay. That used to hang on the wall and be attached to a cable. All right? You're gonna be fine, but here's the deal. We are in constant contact, and we have to wait for nothing. You want to know the scores? Hit a button. You want to check in with your church? Hit a button. You want to tithe? Hit a button. Everything now is hit a button. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. And we have a culture of impatience. The world in itself is fighting against something that God says is representative of who He is. Patience is a virtue. Impatience is in our world. So what about the wait? I'm not going to do this to everyone, but if I wanted to take the time, I could hit everybody in this room. Some of you are waiting for that guy or that girl to come along. And they just ain't coming fast enough. Some of you are waiting for that test to come up with two lines or a plus sign. And it's just not coming fast enough. Some of you are waiting for God to heal you, your parent, your child. And it's just not coming fast enough. Some of you are waiting for that lottery number to come up. For that some strange individual to die, you know, because we're not talking about our parents, because we're not looking for an inheritance. You know what I'm saying? You're waiting for that massive amount of cash to fall from the sky or from trees like our children think, all right? You're waiting for your marriage to get better. You're waiting for your spouse to get better. You're waiting for things to be like you thought they ought to be. Bible's pretty clear about what happens when you wait and what happens when you don't. And more than you getting this individually, I want you to see how it affects God's people and God's children culturally as well. We're going to look at two Old Testament people, all right? One who waited and one who didn't. David out in the field. David, not picked last, not picked at all. They line up the brothers in the palace, in the house, in the whatever. It wasn't the palace at that time, all right? In the house, and they say, Samuel says, hey, one of these guys is going to be, you know, the king. And, you know, Jesse's like, woohoo, you know, here's Abinadab, here's Eliab, here's my quarterback, here's my 4.0 student, here's my good-looking middle schooler, here, like, you know, Aladdin, the sons are here. And the joy, you know, the joyful noise didn't go off. The angels didn't hallelujah. God didn't speak. And Samuel goes, what's up? And he says, is this it? Jesse goes, yeah, except for the runt. Well, go get the runt. The runt comes in the door and the trumpet sounds. The angels come down. Samuel's like, that's our guy. You are going to be king. Woo! In the next verse, David is swept off to the palace. He has now got all the riches. He is now running the country, right? Wrong. Where did David go once he walked out after being given the kingship? Mind you, Saul loses the kingship because he was impatient. Just throwing that in there. Saul tried to make it happen his way instead of God's way. God picked a new guy, and then he sent the new guy back into the field. Why? Because it was time to wait. David could have gone and said, it's mine. David could have gone to his brothers and said, this is how I'm going to act. No, David went back to the field. Stop, let's go to another story. Abraham, father Abraham had many sons had father Abraham, but I just want to talk about two. You know why? Because God came and made a promise, didn't he, Greg? God made a promise that him and his wife were going to have a son. And you know what? He didn't come in a year. He didn't come in two. He didn't come in three. He didn't come in four. You know what old Abe did? Grabbed a servant girl. Oh, said, this ain't working. Sarah and I are getting old. I better help God out. God needs my help in this situation. So I'm going to get me some Hagar. I'm going to woohoo. And then, dun-da-da-da, Ishmael. God waits. And Abram is 99 and Sarah's 90, something like that. They're old. They're not a little old. They're a lot old. And here comes Isaac. Do you have any idea the historic ramifications? Do you hear it? The historic ramifications that even run all the way to today between Israel, Iraq, Iran, Egypt, all of it. Why? Abraham couldn't wait. Well, waiting's hard. Waiting hurts. Don't worry about waiting being difficult or waiting being hurt. Here's what happens to your mind. When you wait and it causes you pain, you say in your pain that you're out of God's presence. Never true. There's never a moment where you are out of God's presence that causes you pain. If you're on the mountaintop or in the valley, God is there. That was his promise. You want him to be there the way you want him. You want him to fulfill his promises under the time frame that you want. And that doesn't happen. Why did he ask David to wait? I wonder if it wasn't because out in that field there would be a bear. What? A bear. I wonder if it wasn't because out in that field there would be a lion. I wonder where it is he learned to hit a bullseye with a rock and a sling that would save the nation of Israel when he slayed a giant before he became the king. You better learn, as a pastor I listened to this week, to work the wait. Because it is in the wait that God is going to do everything that he needs done to prepare you to lead a nation. Where do you learn how to be the best leader? Apparently, it's from the great shepherd. Why do you think he calls himself the shepherd and us the flock? The sheep. Why do you think that's where David, the greatest king to ever live, a fool, but a man after God's own heart, a warrior, but a guy who couldn't stop? David didn't coulda, shoulda, woulda. Didn't throw his brothers under the bus. Didn't tell his daddy no when he had to run the cheese and the bread to the battlefield, because he was working the wait. He was falling in love with Jesus in the wait. He was realizing what God was going to do in him would happen in God's time. It's why when he got out to the battlefield and he sees the giant mocking God's people, that he's the only one in the army who goes, why doesn't anybody stand up to him? Because everybody in the field saw a 9-foot giant who was bigger than a 5-foot man. David saw a multifaceted, endless God who was bigger than a giant. Why? Because he worked the wait. Too many of us are so caught up in trying to make it like we think it's going to be that we try to help. We cause problems for our children. We cause problems for our children's children. We cause problems for our community. We cause problems for ourselves. Because God says, those who wait, when the wait is done, there is a strength you can't incur on your own. There is a hope that you can't fathom in your own strength. There is a renewal that you can't bring on. Only God can bring it. Look at the opposite of this. Those who refuse to wait. Do you know what another translation of this is? Look at this. This is the New Revised Standard Version. What's different? Do you know what it says when God tells you to wait and you decide to try your own thing? I don't trust. Those who don't wait, those who don't trust in the Lord, their strength runs out. They run and get weary. They walk and get faint. I wonder, is there anybody in this room who would admit that as they're going through life right now, man, they're just tired. Man, the days are just long. The work takes it out of me. Kids, take it out of me. Wife, takes it out of me. Husband, takes it out of me. Just people in general, take it out of me. I'm tired. Try and do it on your own. Making decisions without him. Trying to make everything better by adding this bill, that phone, this friend, this girl, that boy. Pulling out of something you ought to be running headstrong into because it's harder than you thought. Giving up on something you ought to be pouring all your strength into because it's not the way you thought it ought to be. You want to read from the TWIWI version, don't you? The way I want it. The way I want it version. Those who wait upon the Lord for less than 90 minutes shall renew their strength. Those who wait upon the Lord as long as there's a bank account that's full shall renew their strength. Those who wait upon the Lord as long as the next test I take comes up positive. Those who wait upon the Lord as long as he or she asks me to the prom. I will wait upon the Lord as long as. I don't find that here, and that is the wonder of the verse. You know what we always say to youth, teens, children? What do we tell them about their mission field? I have kids who get inspired all the time, and so they come and they say, hey, I really want to go somewhere and do something. You know what the first thing I tell them is? You know where their mission field is? Their school. Just as many lost kids there as there are in Kenya. Just as many lost kids there as there are in Guatemala. Just as many poor kids there. Come on, I'm telling you. What if I told you that mission fields didn't always have to be locations? Why don't you think of them more as seasons? What if your mission field is the wait? What if God has you there because you're the only person there that can do it? And in trying to get out, you have missed the mission. Listen to me. God's going to succeed with or without you. You will be the one to miss the blessing. I can give you story after story after story where God said something that wasn't right, said something that, not incorrect. God said something that wasn't right to the person he said it to. Throw your nets out on the other side of the boat. Think about that for a minute. If there are not fish here, there are not fish here. I've been fishing here all night. We're 3 feet from here. Throw your net on the other side. Whoa! 200 and 300 fish later, God goes, should have listened. Jesus, turn the water into the wine. You know, it would have made a lot of sense if Jesus had found a bunch of grapes, had the servants jump up and down on them and put them in a bottle. No, he says, go get that water that everybody's washed their feet in and take a drink of it to the boss. You want me to serve some really funky foot water to the boss? Some toe jam infested liquid to the boss. Yes, that's exactly what I want you to do. If you say no, what happens? The party ends. Because they say yes, what happens? The wedding is saved. You see? All throughout Scripture, nonsensical things. And God's plans are carried out. and God's will is done. But it's only those who wait. It's only those who trust. And I am never going to give you a time, because I don't find in Scripture where God gives you the time. Well, Craig, if I keep on doing this, this goes back to one of our core values, people. If I keep on doing this, will my kid get well? I don't know, but you'll be in God's will. If I keep doing this, will the money come in? I don't know, but you'll be in God's will. Will I get this job, this girl, will my marriage get? I don't know, but you'll be in God's will. And He never promised you it would be roses. He promised you when it's not, He'd be there. And when the master of the universe and the creator of all things is standing next to you, stop focusing on what's wrong and look in His eyes. You'll get all you need. Because at the end of the day, isn't that what heaven is? People ask me all the time, what's it going to be like in heaven? Am I going to see my dog? Am I going to see my husband? My question as a child, because this was the greatest thing on the planet, was will there be a swimming pool? Because the swimming pool, why do you think I'm this color, is where I spent 9 hours a day, every day, 5 days a week. And if I could get mom and dad to take me, I'd have spent 7 more days there. I was diving off the springboard 10-foot high dive at like 4. This is what I did. I needed, for heaven to be heavenly, it had to have a swimming pool. Here's what I will say. I'm not going to burst any bubbles. I'm not going to answer any questions. But I am going to say this. I doubt you'll notice. Come on. I doubt you'll notice. Because there's not a word, there's not an explanation, there's nothing that I can tell you that will even get you close to how awesome and amazing God will be. And I have a feeling that once you look at Him, you'll never look away. So I don't know what's there, but I'm pretty sure you won't care. Why? Him? Don't you think that's what the Bible teaches from the beginning? Why do you think God doesn't use Webster's dictionary to describe Himself? Because He doesn't have to. I what? Damn. If I asked you if you believe He is, everybody in this room right now would say yes. But when He asks you to trust who He is and makes you wait, the answer from your lips doesn't seem to match the answer from your life. Obedience ain't about talk. It's all about walk. And I promise you, whenever the end of the wait is, the flight is better than you can make it. Learn to run by learning to be still. Let's pray. God, I don't know. I don't know what the wait is. I look back at the last 6 years. 312 weeks, over 2,300 days of wanting your church to thrive, wanting your church to grow, wanting there to be peace and hope and health and watching and waiting. And God, I'm convinced of one thing, not my strength but yours, not my patience but yours, and that you are on the other side of all of those days, dripping blessings on us, dropping gifts on us, bringing glory in us for you. And you are absolutely not done. You're just getting started. Because 6 years to you is a second. And I know there are sleepless nights. I know there are tear-filled days. I know there are people who will tell us the opposite. Go get it. follow your heart, except the heart is deceitful above all things. So God, in the wait, what we need is each other. What we need is to turn to each other and say, I need strength. Will you hold my hand while I wait? Will you cover this bill while I wait? Will you pray this prayer while I wait? Will you sit by the hospital bed while I wait? Will you encourage me to stay strong while I wait? Will you be beside me while I wait? That's what church does. Trust in this promise. Strength is renewed. Soaring happens. And running, real running, is coming. Not that I have already obtained this, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal, because there is a prize that God has called me to in Christ Jesus. So I wait. I run in the path of your commands, for you've set my heart free in Jesus' name. Amen.